Thank you. Lots of layers. Got some things to do up the back there. Wonderful. Scripture reading for today is found in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. I'm reading from God's Word Translation. Matthew 13 and verse 10. The disciples asked him, "Why do you use stories as illustrations when you speak to people?" Jesus answered, "Knowledge about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but it has not been given to the crowd. Those who understand these mysteries will be given more knowledge, and they will excel in understanding them. However, some people don't understand these mysteries. Even what they understand will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them this way. They see, but they're blind. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't even try to understand. So they make Isaiah's prophecy come true. You will hear clearly, but never understand. You will see clearly, but never comprehend. These people have become closed-minded and hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes so that their eyes never see, their ears never hear, their minds never understand, and they never return to me for healing. Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. I can guarantee this truth. Many prophets and many of God's people long to see what you see, but didn't see it. To hear what you hear, but didn't hear it." I trust that God will help us to understand a little bit about this morning. Got a couple of things here I need to share with you beforehand. A Jewish businessman sent his son to Israel for a year to absorb the culture. When the son returned, he said, "Papa, I had a great time in Israel. By the way, I converted to Christianity." "Oh," he said, the father, "what have I done?" He took his problem to his best friend, Ike. "And Ike," he said, "I sent my son to Israel and he came home a Christian. What can I do?" "Funny you should ask," said Ike. "I too sent my son to Israel and he also came home a Christian. Perhaps we should go see the rabbi." So they did, and they explained their problem to the rabbi. "Funny you should ask," said the rabbi. "I too sent my son to Israel and he also came home a Christian. What is happening to our young people?" And so they all prayed, telling the Lord about their sons. And as they finished their prayer, a voice came from the heavens. "Funny you should ask," said the voice. "I too sent my son to Israel." give you two for your money today. There was a Scottish tradesman, a painter called Jack, who was very interested in making a pound or a dollar where he could, so he often would thin down his paint to make it go a wee bit further. As it happened, he got away with this for some time. Eventually, the Presbyterian Church, Eventually, the Presbyterian Church decided to do a big restoration job on one of their biggest churches. Jack put in a painting bid, and because his price was so competitive, he got the job. And so he set to, with a right goodwill, erecting the scaffold and putting up the planks and buying the paint, and yes, I'm sorry to say, thinning it down with turpentine. Well, Jack was up on the scaffolding, painting away, job nearly done, when suddenly there was a horrendous clap of thunder. The sky opened, the rain poured down, washing the thin paint from all over the church, knocking Jack fair off the scaffold to land on the lawn. Now, Jack was no fool. He knew this was a judgment from the Almighty. So he fell on his knees and cried, "Oh God, forgive me, what should I do?" And from the thunder, a mighty voice spoke, "Repaint, repaint, and thin no more." I thought that was worthy of sharing. that fits. Over the next few weeks, I would like to talk with you about understanding the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I think that it's a term we know about, but we don't know about much, and I speak for myself. So I'm having fun discovering this, but also becoming a little challenged about it. A monarchy or a kingdom actually has a king. Did you know that? Or a queen. There's always a head to a kingdom. Now, in our culture, in our world today, we have, I think, seven, let me count them, we have seven sovereign monarchs in Brunei, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the Vatican, and Swaziland. Every other monarchy, including our own, is a constitutional monarchy. They actually get a list of instructions given to them by a committee of what to do, how to do it, when to do it, etc. Kind of. But an absolute monarch doesn't have that. They give the list to someone else. They're born into it. They cannot be voted out of it. And what they say is absolute. Absolute. Now, we don't live under that kind of understanding. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's a tendency to think that God, as an absolute monarch, is up for vote. We can kind of take it or leave it, kind of thing. And that's why I say that we don't fully appreciate what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is about. The difference between an earthly king or monarch and the heavenly monarch is one is the benevolent, one is gracious, one is kind. The others may have kindnesses, but not necessarily so. So the text for today is verse 11 of the passage. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables or stories?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given." Here's the thing. It's amazing how people can hear a parable or read a parable and not get it. True? I mean, amazingly easy to read it but not be able to read it. Or to hear something be said, but not hear it. Nothing to do with what's going on for you at the moment, Mike. I believe that we've possibly thought only of the kingdom as being future. That there's going to come a time, and we look for, and I use this term fairly loosely, a kind of an escape from the planet. And we're going to go to heaven, and we're going to become part of this wonderful kingdom thing then. But is that really what the scriptures teach? I don't think so. It's part of the story, but it's not the full story. So the present reality is that our hearts can experience what it means to be the kingdom. God establishes his kingdom in our hearts. And one day there will be the ultimate of a restoration of a new heaven and a new earth. A restoration of a new heaven and a new earth. So all Jesus' parables are about the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure you know that. He explained things and he spoke only in parables. And I think it has something to do with this. When people are seeking and searching, there's a revelation by the Holy Spirit of what this is about when he speaks it. And for those who are not, they just don't get it. They don't get it. Which is a little sad in a way, isn't it? When you think about it. So it's a mystery to us. And it needs an unveiling or a revelation of what this kingdom is about. So the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. Is there a difference? I don't believe so. When you look at all the scriptures, they're used interchangeably. And so it just simply talks about, Matthew doesn't use the term the kingdom of God because he was writing to primarily Jewish listeners and the name of God was so holy they wouldn't speak it. So he spoke about the kingdom of heaven to them. So I think that's significant. Many anticipated a physical kingdom. And we've just experienced a little bit of Holy Week, Palm Sunday leading up to the death, the crucifixion of Jesus, his burial and his resurrection. And the Jewish nation were expecting a king to come, riding in on a white horse, wielding a sword, and going to deliver them from their Roman oppressors, those who occupied Israel and Palestine at that time. And they had this expectation that this was going to be coming in the future. And when Jesus came as the king riding on a donkey, they didn't get that. They didn't get that. How sad. Because it really is talking about a spiritual kingdom rather than a physical one. So the kingdom involves four sort of interrelated parts. And I just want to touch on those briefly this morning. The first part, it is the reign of God. The kingdom is the reign of God. What is a reign? It's not some geographical area surrounded by physical boundaries. This is what it says in Luke 17:21. Look, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Or another way of saying it, or is within you, or within your grasp. In fact, it was interesting that Fiona brought a word to us in the prayer time this morning, that she had this picture of this river like the kingdom of God passing by, and we needed to reach out and reach into it. And I thought, wow, that was absolutely right on the money, because here's this text. It really says that the kingdom of God is within your grasp. It's close. You can grasp it, but you've got to do something to enter into it. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know that prayer that is prayed so often? Liturgically it is prayed, and people mumble it. And it just goes on, and we say the Lord's Prayer. And one of the reasons that I have chosen not to do that as a liturgical thing all the time is because I sort of sense that we've become so familiar to us, we miss it. But when we pray that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what does that mean? And I'm sure that we need to have a revelation again of what that's all about. So the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is wherever the reign or the dominion of God is manifested. So it's in our hearts. It's in commerce. It's in business. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God on the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everything that God created is His. Everything that He put into the hearts of us to do as His created people is good. The enemy has made a mess of it all. But so often we don't realize that the rule and reign of God, the kingdom of God, is within us. So the word kingdom is taken from the Greek word basileia, which means to reign or to rule. So what we're dealing with in the Gospels, in essence, is the rule and reign of heaven. It's heaven reigning now. Now. So the reign of heaven isn't so much a place or location. It's a present way of being, of living. This is what life looks like when God reigns through our lives. The king, you see, that when the king Jesus came into the world, what he did was he left heaven's glory as the, could I say, the cosmic Christ. Became human as in Jesus. And demonstrated for us that this is what the king is like. And this is why people get all messed up, because Jesus has come and he doesn't meet their expectations. Didn't come on a white horse, came on a donkey. He didn't come to deliver people from Roman oppression. He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. He didn't say, don't get involved in politics, but he said, my kingdom is not about politics. It's superior to politics. My kingdom is about my reign on earth. So in one sense, the kingdom of God has always existed. Listen to what it says in Psalm 47. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. And in Psalms 103, 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. So, foretold in the time of Daniel, proclaimed by John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Preached by Jesus, wherever he went, he preached the gospel or the good news of what? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. This is the reign of God being demonstrated. 1 Corinthians 15. But to each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's why healing is so critical. That's why our bodies are so important. That's why when Jesus was at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he wept. Because there was an enemy that was the last enemy to be defeated, and his kingdom would rule and reign until that enemy was defeated. And it's called death. And that's why we grieve so much about death. It hurts. It hurts unbelievably to be separated from a loved one. That's what the death of Jesus is all about, to be separated from a loved one. That's identifying with us. That's about the kingdom. He has all authority, did you know that, over the church? And he's given that to us. Well, 1 Peter 3. Who has gone into the heaven, and it is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Wow. And then it says, and that he, this is from Ephesians 1, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. So, let's have a look at the second part. It's a spiritual kingdom. It can't be found in the form of a physical kingdom. Listen to this, it says in John 18. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. It's not like a worldly kingdom. It's so very different. It's a spiritual kingdom. And it reveals itself in spiritual ways. Listen to this from Romans 14:7. I'm giving you a bit of Bible this morning. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Wherever the kingdom of God is manifest, there is joy. That's why we've got to enter into it. That's why we've got to grasp it. Because life will be unbearably miserable if we're not in that flow. Because we'll be living under the authority of a different kind of kingdom rather than the kingdom of heaven. So it's a spiritual one. The third part, visibly revealed today in the church. This is why I'm committed and believe in the church. I know all over the Western world in particular, people are abandoning the church and saying, it's not relevant. Well, of course it's not relevant if you're not in the flow. Of course it's not relevant if you don't understand what the kingdom of God is about. Of course it's not. It means that we just attend church rather than be the church, rather than be the company of the committed. So of course that's happening. What is the church? It's a community of people whose lives have been radically transformed by God the Holy Spirit and have become the home of God, and his kingdom life is manifested through us. That's why we're left here. That's why you are here in Otama, Knapdale, Waikaka, Gore, New Zealand. That's why you're here. Did you know that? Did you know that? That's why you're left here. That's why God hasn't taken us and poof, we're out of here. He's left us here for that purpose. So when Jesus uses the phrase kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, it isn't being used to describe this disembodied future destination for Christians. It's being used to describe the present reality of God's reign breaking into our hearts, our minds, and our souls. His rule. What's more important? What's more important to us this morning? Listening and entering into relationship with King Jesus or the kingdoms of this world? What's more important to us? Only you and I can decide that. And I tell you what, as the church, we will demonstrate that in some way or another. What has got our affection? Think about the parables of Jesus. Nearly every one of them begin with him describing what the kingdom of heaven is like. He wasn't describing what heaven would be like one day, but what it is like now. And over these next few weeks, this is just an introduction, by the way. Over these next few weeks, we'll be looking at these parables of the kingdom and saying, how does this work for me? How is this applying to me? Parable of the sower is about the seed of God's reign being sown presently in the lives of people on earth. And that's very relevant to our part of the world here. The parable of a hidden treasure is about the treasure of God's reign being sought after presently, presently in order to find the great riches of God. Absolute riches of God. The parable of the pearl is about God's reign, that one is giving all of his earthly treasure to get. Everything else I give away to get that one thing. The pearl of great price. The parable of the farmer and the seed, about the seed of God's reign being sown presently and growing on earth by God's power. It's incredible, that principle of sowing and reaping. What we sow grows. Might be slow, you might think, in the natural so often, but in the spiritual, it sows in God's time and his purposes. Parable of the mustard seed, about the smallest seed of God's reign taking root on earth, growing wildly and invasively through the entire earth. That's what's happening today. I don't know if it charges your batteries or not, but when you read, in excess of 100,000 people come into the kingdom of God every day on earth. Isn't that something else? So I don't see much of it happening around here. And the question is, why not? I'll let that one hang for a little bit. Parable of the yeast is about how a small portion of God's reign is working into the dough of the earth and how it's growing and expanding. Parable of the lost sheep is about how God's reign is presently seeking and searching after lost people. God is seeking and searching after lost people. And they're all around us. They're involved in our lives. They're in our family. Parable of the lost coin is about how God's reign is presently seeking to find a person who's been lost and then celebrating when it's found. It says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. We hear somebody comes to faith in Christ, or the fact that I said over 100,000 people every day, you should be jumping up and down on the seat on that one. The angels are. They are. I know that we're conservative in this. It's okay. There are a lot more parables. The Good Samaritan, the 10 virgins, the 2 debtors, the unjust judge, and so on. But in each and every instance, He's describing the present reality of this kingdom on earth. And it's so cool. It's so cool. It's started. God's up to something pretty incredible. So the fourth part, the kingdom of heaven has yet to be fully realized in the future as well as in the present. It's here now and it's yet to come. So it's kind of both now and yet to come. Now it's a bit hard to get our head around, but if we can accept that it's here and we're looking forward to its wonderful consummation and fulfillment in another time. I'll just read Matthew 25 and 34 for us. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry," listen to this carefully, "for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And of course the question is, when did we do that to you, Lord? Is if you've done it to any of these, you've done it to me. The kingdom of God at work. So the smallest act done in the name of Jesus for him is an activity of the kingdom of God. And I am hearing every day just how much this church is doing in the community. It's wonderful. Sometimes you might feel you want to put yourselves down for all that's going on. Perhaps we haven't got some big mission focus. But it's so exciting to hear all those little things. That's what we're about. Little things. Little things. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And then in Revelation 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." New heavens, new earth. Wow, the kingdom of God is here now and is yet to come. It's the reign and rule of God. We're part of it, but we need to get to understand it and to appreciate it. What did Jesus say? Unless you become like one of these little ones, referring to children, you won't even see the kingdom of God. You won't see the kingdom of heaven unless we have that childlikeness, that simplicity of belief, that recognition that it's there within our grasp. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this amazing understanding from your word that the kingdom and the king are here now. Lord, I'm mind-boggled by it. And I don't fully understand it in any way. But I pray for myself and my sisters and brothers here today that over these next few weeks, Lord, together we might grasp something more of this, enter into it, and enjoy it so much, and recognize that we're part of something huge on the earth. And in Jesus' name I ask that. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Look, we've got just a couple of minutes, and I think, Joe, you have a closing MP4 there for us. Is that right? I'd like us just to appreciate this. You might want to join in as well.
The Son of God. His kingdom come.
Subjects of King Jesus, and we go in his authority. That is huge. God bless you as you do that. I just say that we've always got an opportunity. If you have matters in your life that you'd like someone to be with you and pray with you about, be up the back here while folks are out having a cup of tea or whatever. And if you'd like just someone to pray with you, please call on anyone. I'm glad. I think they would do that. So when we come together, this is an opportunity to enjoy him and to receive from him. So don't go away disappointed.